For more media content from Grace Community Church in San Antonio, Texas, go to gccsatx.com.
What you can do is you can turn to the book of Proverbs. Actually, in our family devotions, we've been moving through the first couple chapters of Proverbs so far this school year. Now, don't blurt this out. If you have an answer, please raise your hand so I can call on you very discriminately. Define the word wisdom. If you have a definition for it, raise your hand. Give it a shot. Okay, seeing life through God's eyes. Now, is that original with yourself, or did you hear that somewhere? You've heard it. There's a tremendous amount of truth to that answer. Seeing life through God's eyes. But, I mean, that can just sound like, you know, words and nice. But think about what it really is saying. Seeing life through God's eyes. How does God see everything? Exactly as they are. Over against how we see things, we don't always see things exactly as they are, right? I mean, in fact, isn't that... I mean, if you just think about what a believer is, what is a believer? I mean, what's synonymous with believer? Christian. But does that mean that those who are not Christians don't believe anything? Well, no. Everybody believes something. Why do we call them unbelievers? Not because they don't believe anything, but because they don't see things the way God sees them. They don't believe things to be the way they are really. God sees things the way they are really. To be a believer is to see things the way they are for real. You see, if you see things the way they really are, you see sin the way it is, you see Christ is the Savior of sin, you see Christ is altogether desirable, and you see that your sin isn't worth, nothing in this world is worth holding on to have Him. You know, the guy that leaves and goes and sells everything so that he can buy the field, so that he can get the treasure in the field, you see, he's come to realize things for what they really are. He comes to realize the treasure buried in the field really is worth going to sell everything. You see, he sees it the way God sees it. Is it wisdom to go sell all that you have so that you can get a treasure in the field worth far more than all the other stuff that you had? It is wisdom. Because all your other stuff isn't worthy to be compared to the treasure, and that treasure is Christ. So, okay, let's go back to this. Wisdom. There's one shot at defining it, and I think that's an excellent one. Anybody else have something? David, I'm not calling on you. Not yet. I know you've answered that question before, so I wasn't going to... Probably wouldn't call on your brother either. But somebody else. Yes, sir. You got to speak way up. I'm not. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but maybe that's not so much a definition. Okay, give me the actual dictionary.com definition. Okay, but stop right there. The quality or state of being wise. Isn't that like redundant? I mean, isn't one of the rules of defining something that you never use the word in the definition? Or at least a form of the word? So, but keep going after that, because maybe they get away from just the redundancy. So what they're saying is it's got something to do with knowledge. Knowledge is what we know, but then it goes above and beyond just having the knowledge. Because, you know, there are people that have lots of knowledge, but they're not very wise. Did you catch what was said in that definition that went beyond? Read it again. Read it again from that place where it talks about knowledge. And then listen to what he says. It's not just having knowledge. Coupled with just judgment as to action. Did you hear that? You see, it's got to do with taking the knowledge and applying it to action. And I suspect David was going to give us a definition similar to that, but go ahead. The ability to apply knowledge. So you've got people that know a lot, but they can be very unwise because they don't take the knowledge that they have and actually apply it to life. Well, I think if we were all to just ask, you know, where would we go in the Bible to find out about wisdom? Well, there is in the Scriptures what we call the wisdom literature. And of course, the Proverbs would be a primary example of where we would find this. Just look with me. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom. I mean, that's why this book is written, to know wisdom and instruction. Okay, what's instruction? Let's hit these words, because a lot of times we just read through them and they can all just kind of, you know, flitter past us. We don't really grab hold of what it's all about. So we've talked about wisdom. Wisdom is taking what we know, and it's actually taking that wisdom and somehow interweaving it into our actions, into our life. What do you do with instruction? Maybe the ESV. I mean, if you're just simply trying to take an English definition of instruction, that might be a little bit misleading, because the word here, and in probably other translations, translate this different than just instruction. It's actually the word that has to do with discipline or chastening or correction. What is correction? When you think about the word correct, what do you think about? Okay, hold on a second. To make right. Exactly. To make right. If you have never notice this before, I want you to notice it right now. If you simply just went through the entire book of Proverbs and you were to underline or circle or put a box around every place where it talked about path or way or walk, it's literally everywhere. A book of wisdom has to do with the way we walk, with the path we take, which obviously all of our actions, all of our doing, that's what that applies to. Wisdom, like we looked at, wisdom is basically taking the knowledge we have and applying it to our actions, applying it to our path. It has to do with the path that we follow. Just follow with me here very quickly. Verse 15, chapter 1. My son, do not walk. Notice that term walk. In the way with them. Hold back your foot from their what? Paths. That idea literally comes at us everywhere. Verse 16. For their feet run. You've got this idea all the way through Proverbs of walking, of running. And when you walk or you run, it's down a path. It's through a way. You look over at verse 19. Such are the ways. Look at verse 31. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way. You go further. Look at chapter 2, verse 7. He is the shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, watching over the way of his saints. Verse 9, every good path. You go down to verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil. Verse 13, who forsake the paths of righteousness, to walk in the ways of darkness. Verse 15, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. This is just a sampling. You go through this book and literally everywhere. I would say do that sometime. Just go through and notice that. When you come to a book that has to do with wisdom, what you find is a book that has to do with the path you take in life. Now look, clearly the idea of wisdom is not just to have knowledge and apply it to your actions. Look, I can know partying is fun. Apply that to my actions and go party. Or you fill it. I can know that there are pleasures in sin for a season and take that knowledge and apply it to my actions and say, I want pleasure. You see, it isn't just that. Wisdom has to do with looking at the end of the path and saying, does this path lead me to the greatest good for the greatest amount of time? Did you catch that? Because if that's really what I'm looking at, I want the greatest joy, I want the greatest happiness, I want the greatest pleasure, I want the greatest good, I want the greatest blessing, and I want it forever. You know, somebody sings a song, I want it all and I want it now. Well, here's the problem. The people that basically live in this world by that mindset, if you look at the end of that path, they want their all, they want it now. You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Pilgrim's Progress. There was a place where in Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan describes two characters. In fact, I think it was in Interpreter's House. Do you remember who they were? Two children. Anybody remember their names? Passion was one of them, and Patience. Passion and Patience. Patience was willing to wait for the good, where Passion wanted it all now. But you see, what Bunyan does in that book is he says, let's go look at the end of the path. Those who wait, those who are patient, well, they get their all at the end. They come second to none. Those who get their all last are not succeeded by anybody. Those who get their all now, well, they've got to yield to those who are patient, wait to the end. He's looking at the end of the path. Brethren, that's what wisdom does. Wisdom looks down the path and it looks, look, there's somewhere in the Proverbs where it says this, if you spread a net in the sight of a bird, what will the bird not do? It won't fly into it because it sees it. And wisdom is seeing the net. You see, the fool says, I want it all, I want it now, and he doesn't look down the road. He doesn't look at the end of his way. He doesn't look at where it's going to take him. Wisdom is all about doing that which is going to be for your greatest good. Brethren, look over at Proverbs 4 and verse 7. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Get wisdom. And all these words that we... I mean, doesn't that just make sense? The beginning of wisdom is that. Get wisdom. Brethren, the thing that I want to emphasize to you is that in chapter 2, verse 4, It says, seek it like silver. Search for it as hidden treasure. Brethren, what you don't want to do is walk through life just disregarding where the path you're on leads you. Think about the path. That's what wisdom does. That's what the writer of Proverbs is doing. He's saying to his son, son, if you look at where the path takes this person, the end, and I'll tell you something else that comes out a lot in Proverbs, it's the idea of life and death. Where does the path go? Where does it take you? Does it take you to life eternal? Does it take you to death? Does it take you to misery? Does this path, which seems good right now, I mean, it's kind of like this. Does taking a woman unto yourself who belongs to another man, does it sound like there's excitement in that? Does it sound like there's pleasure in that? Well, yeah, that's a reality. There, in this short little momentary time, it looks like there's excitement. It looks like there's adventure in that. But then the father says to his son, but let me show you where that takes you. It leads down a path that ends in death. Even though right, basically what you do is you take fire into your breast and you'll get burned. And even though it may seem fun, it may seem exciting, it may seem thrilling right now, it takes you in a place you don't want to go. My son, get wisdom. Seek it. You know how you seek wisdom? You basically walk through life. And as you go through this book, you find out this Proverbs writer is walking down the road and he looks over and he looks at the house of the sluggard and he sees his walls broken down and he sees everything is overgrown and he thinks. You see, he goes through life. We find in the Proverbs that wisdom says she cries in the streets. In other words, there is wisdom to be seen all around you if you will but open your eyes and look. All you have to do is open your eyes and you look out in life. Guys, I often try to tell the young men this. Look, if you stay in bed till noon, that's not good. Look down the road. Look down, look at your path 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. Because this is what I've seen. I've seen that if I walk by the guy's house and he's a sluggard and he stays in bed till noon, I see his fence is broken down, his vineyards are overgrown, they're full of this, they're full. It leads in a, being a sluggard leads in a path, it leads in a direction you don't want to go. It takes you somewhere. You are going down a path. We're all going down a path. You can't help that. You're on a path. It's not like you can just say, I'm out of here, I don't want any of that. The beginning of wisdom is this, get wisdom. Seek it. Look for it. Watch. You find people that walk a certain way in life, know where that end is going to bring them. Watch. Keep your eyes open. Correction, we were dealing with these words and their associations. Correction is, there's huge wisdom in the ability to be corrected. It's to say, I'm on this path, and correction is to get things right. Is to get back to where I need to be. Correction. If I'm headed in a direction that is not for my greatest good, then I want to get on the path that is for my greatest good. You know, this haunts me. You can say, I mean, you can think whatever you want to think, but sometimes it's dangerous when you go out and you quote guys like C.S. Lewis. But there's a place in one of his Chronicles of Narnia where there's a certain cabbie that gets taken into Narnia. And as he's seen this world created by Aslan, who's a picture of Christ, he says, if I would have known there were such things, I would have been a different man. I would have lived a different life had I known such things. But brethren, the truth is, God's Word tells us there are such things, there are such glories, there are such beauties. There is these present sufferings are just not to be compared with an eternal weight of glory. There is such glory to be revealed to us. And what the writers of Scripture are trying to do is they're trying to pull us into this reality that there is such glory, there are such riches of Jesus Christ at the end of this, that if you could only possibly imagine, if you can believe what they're saying, if you can try to let your mind dwell on things above and to go there and dwell there and see that the riches and the inheritance that we have in Christ, if you could but see what it is, if you could but see what it is to have lived a life and ran faster and kept straighter to the path and truer to righteousness. And brethren, I'll tell you what C.S. Lewis had come forth. I'll guarantee you this, the moment, that first moment your eyes behold Christ, you will, brethren, you will be astounded with glory, but you will also realize right at that moment when you see Him for all His beauty and all His worthiness, you will realize, I should have run in that race of life 10,000 times faster. If I would have realized the glory that there is in Christ, if I would have had a comprehension of that, I would have ran harder and faster and more diligent and more disciplined, more determined. Brethren, that is what wisdom says. Correction. Brethren, there is a time for correction. There is a time for wisdom to say, especially in light of this, if we really believe that there are eternal rewards, if we really believe that when certain gifts are bestowed on men, that to the man who took his one and turned it into 10, he rules over 10 cities, whereas the man who took his one and he turned it into 5 rules over 5 cities, if there seems to be some sort of levels and degrees of reward, if we find that those who ran faster, those who responded more diligently to the commands of Scripture, those who followed Christ more precisely, if we really believe that, listen, I believe it's like Edward said, there are some who in heaven are going to be much bigger cups than others. All of our cups will be filled to overflowing, but some will be vastly larger than others. Well, why is that? Well, because some responded to God's Word. Some bear 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Why? Well, brethren, because when, for instance, when Jesus Christ said, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, some laid up more diligently than others. Some, like the widow, gave more than the rest. Brethren, when Jesus called us to greatness and said that those that will be greatest are those who are least here, some took that to heart and served others far more. Some took their spiritual gifts. Some had an abundance of spiritual gifts. And they used them half as well as they might have. And some had far fewer, and they used them more. And to our eyes today, we look and we say, oh, this guy over here will certainly, if anybody's going to, you know, be tremendously applauded in heaven, it's going to be them. Yeah, but the only reason they look so superior and so great is because they just had so many natural gifts and spiritual gifts given to them that they couldn't hardly help but look like that, even though they almost half-heartedly use those gifts, where a guy over here that doesn't seem to totally measure up to him in glory, we're going to find out he ran much better because of the little that he had, he just earnestly ran with. Brethren, I'm telling you, wisdom says, consider the end of the path. And you know where the end of the path takes us? It takes us to the judgment day. It takes us to the end of life. It takes us to the moment that we have to stand before God. Brethren, you want to be wise? The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. We've got to be people that search for it. We've got to be people that are not willing to just stagnate and walk through life and flow through life as though the way we live has no eternal repercussions. It certainly does. And we need to live in light of that. Brethren, look down the road. Look at where the way you're walking leads you. Look at where it ends. Wisdom says, I look at my life. I look at every day. I look at the things I do. I look at my ways. I look and I see where it takes me. Because even as a Christian, even if life is at the end, brethren, there are ways that help me to run this life faster. You look at people like Christ. You look at those like John the Baptist or like the Apostle Paul, and you look at the way they ran. You look at how they were determined, how they were disciplined, how they were single-minded, how they had their faces in a direction, and they ran. And they ran wisely. Well, instruction has the idea to do with correction. Or how about this? To understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing. Wise dealing. I'm back in chapter 1, verse 3. To receive instruction in wise dealing. Again, he's telling the reasons for which Proverbs are given. Proverbs are given to receive instruction in wise dealing. That is a word that basically means prudence. Anybody know what it means to be prudent? If you say, well, my wife is prudent when she goes shopping, she's frugal, she's prudent. What do I mean by that? What's that? Can't hear you. Tries to get the best value. Right. The idea behind prudence is to be careful. It's to be cautious. You see, the wisdom is not just, there's wisdom in correction. There is wisdom in being brought back to the way that is right, making things right, getting on the way that is for your greatest good, and being cautious. You see, this is seeking for wisdom. It is being cautious. It is looking around. It is being cautious about your way. It is being cautious the way you walk. People who don't think and aren't cautious are foolish. They'll just run into danger, and they'll think, or not being prudent, not being cautious, not being careful. Brethren, I'll tell you, when you watch somebody else and you watch them go down a path and it leads to their destruction or to their harm, for you to jump right over on that path and think, my end is going to be different than theirs. Brethren, I can't tell you how many children follow right down the exact same path as their parents. And it just ends towards all sorts of misery for their parents. And yet, we come along, and isn't that true? Brethren, isn't that true? How often we think, well, even though others have taken this path and the end has been destruction, or it's been misery, or it's been pain, or it's been suffering, or it's been sorrow, I can get on this path and it's not going to end that way for me. Brethren, that is not being careful. That is not being cautious. These proverbs are given for us to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, that which is right, justice, equity. Equity has to do with straightness. The path that is straight is always the good path. The one that is crooked. Crookedness, perverseness, bent. Those are words that are not good. Straight. I see the end. I see where good is. And I go straight towards it. Brethren, let me have you look at and consider this as well. Look at chapter 9, verse 12. So simple. I mean, they're just so obvious and yet profound. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. Do you see how it's not just taking knowledge and applying it to your actions? It really has the idea of good in the end. The idea is here, if you're wise and you pursue that which is good, you get the good. The end of the path is your end. It's not like I'm walking down this path and I look down at the end of this path and what's down there at the end is for somebody else. What's at the end of the path is for you. If you get wisdom and walk wise, it's for you. It's your end. I mean, how often Jesus just reasoned from the standpoint of your own good. Did he not? I mean, he says, I'll tell you who to fear. Fear him who's able to throw body and soul into hell. In other words, he's saying, look to your own good, man. That's wisdom. Because if you get wisdom, it's for you. And if you're a fool, it's for you. If you think you're going to jump on the path that others have taken and it's ended in destruction, but somehow it's going to turn out better for you, and listen, you know it as well as I do. Jonathan Edwards said this, every man has a plan to escape hell. In other words, every man has a plan to get to the end of his path and find good. But you see, the problem is there are paths that get us there. And the problem is most of the world imagine to get to the end of the path and find good, even though Scripture everywhere warns them that the path that they're on leads to bad. There is a way that seems right to men, but what? The end of it is what? It's death. They think they're going to find life at the end of this way, but the fact is, the Scripture always says, this way leads to death. And I'll tell you this. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6, it says, the Lord gives wisdom. You know what? If you're going to be a wisdom searcher, if you're going to search for wisdom as for gold, as for silver, as for precious stones, as for treasure, how does a man seek for treasure, for silver? Look at the world. How do they seek for it? They're diligent. They will get up early and they will stay up late. And they will scheme and they will plan. Men will do all manner of things to get money. They will be bold. They will take risks. They will take chances. That's the way we're supposed to search. And if you want to search, all searches for wisdom will take you to the Lord. Because we heard it. What is the idea behind wisdom? It's seeing things the way God sees them. You see, we want to go to God because He knows. He sees our path, and He knows how it really is. So you know what? We want to go get His interpretation of our path. Lord, You tell me what the good path is. Am I on the good path? Am I on the right path? We go to the Word of God, and the Word of God is able to describe the path. It's able to show us. We take the mirror of the Word and we shine it on our ways, on our path, on our walk, on the way we run. And there we find wisdom. The search for wisdom always takes us to the Lord. And maybe even more exact, the pursuit of wisdom always takes us where? It takes us to Christ. Have you ever read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? God has made Christ to be our wisdom. Have you ever heard Jesus said, I am the what? The way. When it comes to paths, when it comes to the way that leads to the greatest good for the greatest extent and duration is the way of Christ. He is the way of wisdom because all good comes through Him. You cannot come to any good and to any lasting joy or pleasure or profound blessing or any blessing except through Christ. If you try to pursue it any other way, you are a fool. Because Scripture says there is one way. There is none other name. There is none given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. He is the way. Wisdom is found in Him. And if you're going to seek it as silver, it will take you back to the Lord because He's the giver of it, and it will take you to Christ because He is the wisdom and He is the way. Brethren, if you get wisdom, you get it for yourself. And if you miss wisdom, you miss it for yourself. The beginning of wisdom starts right here. Set yourself to get it. Brethren, that matters. That's you know what that means? That means when you rise up, when you go to read Scripture, it's not just an exercise. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, show me how to run in such a way that I may accomplish the greatest good for myself. You say, that sounds selfish. No, that sounds wise. Jesus appeals to you to run for your greatest good again and again and again. He says, if you need to pluck out an eye, He reasons this way. If you have such sin in your life, if you have such temptations in your life, if you have such idols in your life, that you have to gouge them out with the same violence that you would gouge out an eyeball, then you need to do it because it is better for you to enter blind into life than having that eye to go into hell. You see how he's arguing? He's arguing, he's saying, man, woman, consider your greatest good. For you to lose this to get that is wise. Do it. It is better. You don't want to hold on to that thing and lose your life at the end because it isn't wise. You say, why isn't it wise? I get to keep the eye. Yeah, for a little bit, and then you lose everything. You see, that isn't wise. The pleasures of sin are for a season. That's not wise to give your life to that which is only for a season when there are pleasures forevermore at His right hand. And if you take the sin, which is the here and now, and don't surrender to Christ, it isn't wise. Brethren, if you get wisdom, you get it for yourself. You all see that? This is what it's about. Consider, seek it. The beginning of it is get it. Look, brethren, look, 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 look. Look and consider. Look around you. Look at people's ways. Look at where it leads. Look in the Scriptures. Look where certain things led people. You're toying with the riches of this world. They're bending you away from Christ. Look at Demas. Consider. Look at Judas. Consider. You see, the fool says, that has no relevance in my life. The wise man says, that's not a path to go down. Look at the young man who toys with sexual immorality. Look where it leads. It's not wise. You see, young men, they get jobs. They don't give. They spend it all on themselves. Not about to support widows and orphans. Consider the rich man. God said, you fool. you have not been rich toward me. You see, there's wisdom to say, ooh, that applies to me. It's foolish to say, that doesn't matter. I can just live for myself. I can live selfish. Brethren, look at this. Godly men, godly women in history, you know where they've come from? They come out of the prayer closet. You're gonna look at that and say, I see Jesus out there early in the morning praying, but that has nothing to do with me. I can basically live a rather prayerless life, pray for a quick 5 minutes, get my little deal in, and I can be just as godly as anybody else. That's not true. Look at the end of where a life takes you. Where do the godliest, most world-transforming people come from? It's wisdom to say, I see they come from this, therefore I'm going to walk that way. Where are those that are most rewarded at the end? Where do they come from? Does it come out of a life of selfishness? Does it come out of a life of sacrifice? Does it come out of a life of pride? Or does it come out of a life of submission? What does it come out of? A life of self-serving or of other-serving? Does it come out of a life of knowing the Scriptures intimately? Or does it come out of a life of basically treating the Scriptures footloose, fancy? Is it not all that important? Yeah, I read it every few days, but just isn't really my... Brethren, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Look, if you've been living a life thinking, yeah, I know things aren't right, but, well, I just hope it's all going to turn out. Brethren, wisdom. Your path will take you where you go. Your path, you are making a path for yourself, and it has an end. And don't think you're going to get to the end of a different path when you're on that path. You see what I'm saying? Wisdom, brethren. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Get it. Look. Watch. Men. Wisdom. Don't think that... Wisdom. Young people. Young ladies, wisdom. Listen, young lady. If you, again, paths take us somewhere. If you think you're going to meet a young man who isn't so much in the Word, doesn't so much pray, he's certainly putting on a good face for you because he's interested in you. But you're going to convince yourself that he's going to be the next George Mueller or he's going to be the next Hudson Taylor. Not happening. Wisdom. Wisdom. Young men, same thing. You find a young lady and she's got lots of ungodly characteristics. You think she's going to become just this excellent wife? Wisdom. Wisdom. We've got to be walking on these paths. We've got to be looking at the end. They take us somewhere. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying is those paths always go down the same way. It's not like if you get on the path, somehow all of a sudden it's going to be different for you. And there is a God who is supreme, who is sovereign, who is watching, and who guides these things. You can't think you're going to outwit him. Because he's the one that'll make certain that all paths lead to where they go. If you think you can walk through life and be a thief, you know, you watch another guy, and there he is, he's stealing, and you watch him, and then he gets caught, and he goes to prison. Yeah, but I'm smarter than he is, so I'm going to go live that kind of life, and I'm going to get all these riches to myself, and I'm not going to get caught. Don't you understand? God's involved there, and he's going to see to it that that path takes you where the path of all thieves takes them. You can't outwit him. And so get wisdom. Don't be fools. I mean, it's so obvious. You know, you find the guy that gets straight A's. And you look at his life and you say, well, yeah, he studies all the time and he's disciplined and he doesn't run around and he makes sacrifices. But, well, I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to have a social life and I'm not going to do that. Here's an example that you can apply to all areas of life. You know, I'm going to get good grades and I'm not going to do what he does. I'm going to live a lot looser. Brethren, it doesn't work. It doesn't happen because paths take us somewhere. I say to young people that are wanting to get married all the time, you know, strive to be the kind of person that a godly person of the opposite sex is going to want and be attracted to. Brethren, if you're trying to set all those things in place right now and you're striving and you're diligent to be that, then it's very likely that the day will come when you will be a godly husband or a godly wife. But if you're not pursuing that path diligently, you won't do that. You won't be that. It doesn't happen by magic. And it doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't just one day, poof, and it happens. Paths are always taking us somewhere. I think we're at our end of this path, Sunday school. But brethren, let that thought just permeate your thinking. If you get wisdom, you get it for yourself. Amen.